Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Chase and Big Joe are live at SEC Media Days, where they will be joined by Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel here momentarily. And I just have one quick thought with Tennessee at the podium today. And my one quick thought is this. When it comes to the Tennessee football season, doesn't Josh Heupel kind of get a pass this year? Don't the Vols as a program kind of get a pass this year? Like, I don't hear any Tennessee fan that's super excited for the season other than the fact that Tennessee fans love football. So, hey, I'm excited about that. But as far as, like, Jared, our football team this year is going to be so good. Jared, I'll tell you what. I just don't hear a lot of that. And I understand why. And so I already know off the jump Tennessee's going to lose at Alabama. They're going to lose to Georgia, and they're probably going to lose to Florida because Florida does have a superstar at quarterback, though Billy Napier is their coach, which makes me somewhat skeptical of them. So that's three losses right there. And the way college football has changed, it feels like over the last couple of years with a 12-team and what feels like it is inevitable that it will be a 16-team playoff, what's happened in college football is it now kind of feels like either you're a national title contender or you're not, you're a playoff contender or you're not, and then if you're not, you're just like everybody else. So if you don't really have a shot at the playoff, or if you think you should go to the playoff and you don't, you're kind of remembered the same. South Carolina, for instance, and Ole Miss were right there on the cut line. But there's really no difference between them and Miami and Vanderbilt and anybody else who ended up in some whatever bowl. And when it comes to Tennessee, because their schedule certainly isn't easy, I wouldn't say it's necessarily all that hard. Yes, there's Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, but outside of that, there's not a whole lot there. I could see Tennessee losing to Syracuse week one. Fran Brown's got it rolling over at Syracuse. They're getting a bunch of recruits. How they're getting the recruits to come to Syracuse, I don't know. That's not my business. But Fran Brown's got a good team over there. I mean, hey, they took down the great Cam Ward last year and kept Miami out of the ACC title game, even though you guys tell me about how much of a winner Cam Ward is. So they play Syracuse. That's not going to be easy. They play Oklahoma. That's not going to be easy. They play a handful of easy. They may lose four or five games. And if they lose four or five games, they're not going to make the playoff. They're going to be in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Or they're going to be in whatever tie-in to the SEC, whatever bowl there is that wants it. They'll be in the Liberty Bowl. They'll be at the Music City Bowl. No disrespect to the Music City Bowl. And I don't even know what the ReliaQuest Bowl is anymore, but I think that's what Alabama went to last year. They'll be in one of those bowl games. And yet at the same time, if they had ended up in the ReliaQuest Bowl last year, I think Tennessee fans would have gone nuts. And I think Tennessee fans would have had every right to go nuts last year. This year, it kind of feels like, given how all the Nico stuff went down, Josh Heupel and Tennessee get a pass for ending up in the ReliaQuest Bowl. They get a pass for ending up in the Liberty Bowl, which I don't even know if it still has an SEC tie or not. I'm going to assume it does. Arkansas plays in it, I feel like, every year. Is that bad? Georgia has a quarterback. I don't know who's any good. I don't know if Gunnar Stockton is any good or not. And if he's not good, then they could be in the ReliaQuest Bowl. And if Georgia is in the ReliaQuest Bowl next year, Georgia fans are going to go nuts. They're not going to demand that Kirby Smart be fired, but they're not going to be very happy about it. Again, when it comes to Tennessee, I kind of feel like this year is a total free pass. Josh Heupel has proven he can get you to the playoff because he got you to the playoff last year. Josh Heupel, I think, invested in the wrong kid in Nico. I don't think Nico was that good. And then Nico tried to basically extort the Tennessee football program into paying him more. And they didn't stand for that, which I salute, I applaud. But when I hear Robbie and Rex Road, and boy, they were doing this today. It's one of my favorite pastimes with Robbie and Joe during the summer, especially when we get into training camp. And I say this with all due respect. You guys know I love you, even Joe. They sometimes just kind of read the depth chart where they just start talking about, well, they got Johnny at linebacker and Joey at the other linebacker. And then if they get a good season from Scotty at safety and Stevie at safety and Joey at corner and Scooter at corner, then they've got to show. They just start reading the depth chart. And this morning they were just reading the depth chart, talking about UT football. That's when Robbie and Joe get so into the weeds. But again, who's going to be the quarterback? Jake Merklinger, who's that? Sam Aguiar, who was at UCLA. It wasn't any good. They don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win. So if they don't have a quarterback, I don't know why we should expect them to win this year. And so if they end up in the Reliant Quest Bowl, which is where I think they'll probably end up this year, I don't think they'll contend for the playoffs. Don't they get a free pass? Because Josh Heupel's done so much winning. I remember a couple of years ago when Jeremy Pruitt got a contract extension. And I, apparently the only person of sound mind and body at the time that that contract extension got signed, I was sitting there saying, why did they sign him to a contract extension? He's doing an okay job. And if you're doing an okay job, in my opinion, you get to keep your job. You don't get a contract extension, just like you don't get fired. And at the time, Tennessee fans, oh, Jared, you don't understand. Fulmer is showing that Pruitt is his guy and that we're sticking by him. So when Alabama calls, when Saban leaves, he won't want to go. Even though Kalen DeBoer left Washington where he got any contract, he could have named his price. They were in the national title game and he still left for Alabama. But again, I was the only one of sound mind and body at the time. And of course, it was a total disaster that following season with Pruitt, which led you to Heupel. Since Josh Heupel's been the coach of Tennessee, Josh Heupel has proven he's a good coach. He's proven it. I believe he's proven it. I believe that Josh Heupel has proved he can win at a high level. Can he win the national title? I don't know. But again, when the alternative is Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt, I think he'll take it. And that's why, once again, I think this is a house money season. This is a free pass season for Tennessee football. And anybody who tells me any differently, I'm just not going to believe. Is there any scenario this year where you could say that, oh, you know, Josh Heupel, they lost and he should be fired? Of course not. So, again, my quick thought ahead of Chase and Big Joe sitting down with Josh Heupel, which is coming up momentarily, but kind of my takeaway on this is when it comes to UT this year, I think UT gets a free pass. And I'll be stunned if when push comes to shove, if they win one of those three games against Georgia, Florida, or Alabama, which they're not, I would not be surprised if they lost to Syracuse, Oklahoma, and let's not throw out a wild card like Arkansas, who they lost to last year, Vanderbilt, who returns a lot of their team from last year. Wouldn't rule that out either. They're probably going to win eight games this year. Maybe seven. Again, I think that's fine. And I think that's going to be okay. Brandon says, they're not going to get a pass from me. Heupel has some dead weight on his staff, and if he doesn't make changes this year, it'll be the beginning of the end. Yeah, okay. Whatever. So, again, that's kind of my quick take ahead of Chase and Joe talking to Josh Heupel is I just kind of feel like, you know what, at the end of the day this year with UT, and UT fans are not known for patience, and UT fans are not known for context, but at the end of the day, I kind of feel like this year's a free pass. For whatever that's worth. Josh Heupel to join Chase and Joe coming up next. 615-737-1025 live from SEC Media Days in Atlanta. And by the way, their coverage in Atlanta is brought to you by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Hey, the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 102.5 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the Indy Car Race. Text in the keyword race right now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com.
All right, Chasing Big Joe live on Radio Row, SEC Media Days. Appreciate Jared for giving us a little bit of time to talk some Vols with all of you. Josh Heupel is going to join us in a few minutes. He is making the rounds here on Radio Row, and our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. But in the meantime, we say hello to Arion Carter, linebacker for the Vols, and we were just kind of sitting here chit-chatting for a few minutes. How exciting is it to be here on Radio Row representing your team?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic just to be able to go out here and represent the culture of Tennessee and just my brand and the brand as a whole. It's a blessing just to be here.
You said that you were asked earlier about Joey Aguilar coming in, and there's going to be an open competition for the quarterback, but you pledged your support for him as a new guy coming in, transferring in. Why was it important for you to do that?
Yeah, I feel like it's important for any new guy coming into our system to get them acclimated and feel as comfortable as possible just to be out here, just to have the chemistry, just to build that chemistry over the summer in which we've done, and just be able to have guys corralling around just that quarterback group and just the offense and defense as a whole to be able to make sure guys are prepared and ready for when the stage is set.
We're talking to Arion Carter, linebacker, University of Tennessee. Smyrna man, Smyrna built, Smyrna made. I love it, Arion. Yes, I told you earlier, we love watching you from a Friday night to what you do on a Saturday. All right, so we talked to people down here this week, like, well, that defense of Tennessee is going to have to carry them with this, you know, new quarterback coming in and a lot of pressure on defense. Look, man, you like pressure, don't you? I mean, let the game come to you, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I put the pressure on myself. You know, pressure is a privilege at the end of the day, and I feel like we don't shy away from it. You know, we stare it head on and meet it head on. I feel like, you know, a lot of expectations, a lot of she say, he say, you know, but I feel like I believe in the group that we have in that building, and I feel like I believe in the coaches that we got to put us in the best position to go win, and I feel like we're going to be prepared for when the time is right to go out there and achieve it.
You know, some friends of mine said, when Tennessee players come through, ask them about the offseason and Nico, and I said, I'm not going to. That's in the past, man. These guys aren't focused on the past. You guys are focused on one thing, and that's Syracuse here in Atlanta in about 6 weeks.
Yep, exactly. Right? Yes, sir. You know, just taking it day by day. We always talk about, you know, we want to be prepared. We want to make sure everybody is mentally and physically ready for the season to be able to go into fall camp and have a great camp to leave off, kick off this 2026 season.
You know, I know Chase asked you about being here and doing everything. Coach Heupel could have brought a lot of guys down here. He brought three, and one of them is you. What does that mean?
It means everything. It just shows the trust that he has in me, just the standard that's been set, and the standard that I plan to uphold while I'm here, just representing, you know, my school, my university, and my program. It's just a blessing, you know, just to be here, and it just speaks volumes of the respect that he has for me and the respect I have for him as a coach and a man.
Vols linebacker Arion Carter with us here on Radio Row at SEC Media Days. He mentioned 6 weeks back here in Atlanta for the kickoff game. How special is that to play a team like Syracuse, but also to kind of have that national stage on you with the big kickoff game?
Yeah, we always talk about games like this with the big stage is set and just being prepared and just being ready for when your moment comes. You know, you don't get chances and opportunities like this only come in a lifetime, you know, and you got to make sure that when your numbers call, you're ready. And I feel like us as a team and us as a whole, playing all three phases of complimentary football, we're going to be prepared when that time has come.
You were prepared leaving Smyrna High School. You played for one of my favorite coaches, my favorite people, Coach Matt Williams down at Smyrna. How important is he to you?
Man, he's such a great coach and such a great man. Another man who has great morals, a man that's selfless, a man of family, who loves his family, who loves his coaches, who loves his players. He's just an overall player type of coach. And, you know, having a man like that in your corner, that I was blessed to have him for my 4 years, of high school and just being able to be developed under him and learn so many gems and takes away from him, you know, it's something I'll carry forever. I appreciate him.
We talked to Miles Kittlesman a little earlier about what's it like running out on the tee. He says he likes to run last because he don't want to go, because you got to sprint when you go first, right?
Oh, yeah, you first, you better get up out of there. Everybody else, it's like a stampede.
Where do you like to be in that situation running out of the tunnel?
You know, I like to come out in the front, obviously. Me, I'm hype. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm antsy. I'm ready to go hit somebody with a different color jersey on. So, me, I'm full sprint, full tilt out that tunnel, ready to go. Go do my Lord's Prayer and then go out there and put that helmet on and go play football.
Oh, I love it.
Arian Carter with us. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. I know you're excited. We're excited about the upcoming season.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy the rest of this.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a blessed day.
Yeah, you
yes,
too.
Sir.
Appreciate it. Arian Carter joining us here on the program. Chasing Big Joe, hanging out. Stillman and Company. We are waiting on Coach Josh Heupel. He's going to join us here momentarily. I think I see him over there.
He's peeking.
I saw.
He's nervous.
No, I know. He sees us
It's a big deal to come on the Jared Stillman show and then have us kind of here as well right now to do that. But y'all, look. Obviously, we're here with Tennessee Vanderbilt, and to talk to these guys, and you know they're excited. You know these Tennessee balls we're talking to. We talked to the Vandy guys; they're excited too as well. But it's Tennessee's got that big game against Syracuse, and of course, 2 weeks later in the season, Georgia in Knoxville, a game that we've talked about could determine the season for either Tennessee or Georgia. But again, the most important game we've talked about all the time is the next one, and that's the Syracuse game.
It's funny too, and obviously we'll get coaches' thoughts on it, but the players that we've talked to, we've not talked to all three. You'll hear a couple of those later on. But you know, you don't feel the pressure. And, I mean, we talk about pressure, they got pressure. And I heard Jared, you know, just now talking about, is it kind of a pass year, you know, for Coach Heupel because of the Nico situation? And I don't think any of them are viewing it that way. They're like, no, okay. It's just another obstacle that you got to jump through in playing college football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People are like, well, you know, good for Heupel for sticking up against Nico, but haha, what happens if they go 8-4? Nobody's thinking that.
No.
This defense in Knoxville is very, very good. That's a good defense. And yeah, it might have to carry them in a few games where the offense can't. That's fine. That's what these defensive guys like that. They love the pressure of having that. But you know what? You go ahead and take care of Syracuse, then you beat East Tennessee State, then Georgia comes to you. It's checkered kneeling that day. It's going to be loud and everything that's going on. I mean, it fits right into what you want for the 2025 season. Yeah, you got to get your quarterback going. We understand all that. But it's not like the quarterback just showed up August 15th.
Right.
He's been there a while.
Right.
And they've been there a while. They've been practicing, not officially, but they've been practicing with the receivers and everything. I think they'll be okay, man.
You got Merklinger, who's been there as well as a redshirt freshman. George McIntyre comes in. I mean, I think we all – you know, he's going to tell us, he said it today, that it's an open competition and not naming a starter. I think we know it's going to be Joey Aguilar that's going to be the starter.
Sure.
I get kind of playing it close to the vest. But at the same time, I also think there is going to be competition in training camp. And I guess he's leaving the door open. If somebody absolutely blows him away, then, you know, it's going to be – it's, you know, that it could actually happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Look, this isn't Heupel's first rodeo. I mean, he's going in 21, 22, 23, 24, his fifth year in Knoxville. And look what this program was in 19 and 20 under the awful Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
You know, when Heupel came in January of 21, hell, half of Knox County transferred. I mean, everybody left. And the fact that what he built them into and what they're doing, I mean, that's a testament to him. And the progress his team had. And so I think it's an exciting – if you're a Tennessee fan, I think you need to be excited. I know Nico's going, I get all that, but that's in the past now. You go forward and see what you can do and roll with it.
Chasing Big Joe, we are hanging out on Stillman & Company waiting Coach Josh Heupel to join us live on Radio Row, or Digital Drive as they call it. I mean, he's literally right around the corner, and their PR guy just came by and said he's about to head this way. So – as George Plaster always says, we're in a bit of a four corner stall.
We're like expecting parents, because we're like looking around, waiting for the doctor to come out. That's a boy, and have all excited with it. to see all things that go on. But this is a controlled chaos here on Radio Row. It's a lot of fun and see what's happening and everything like that. And so, look, you come down here. We want to talk. There's a lot. There's 16 coaches coming here. There's two we want to talk to.
Yeah.
Clark Lee, Josh Heupel.
Yeah, absolutely. Look who just called.
Who is it, Clay?
No.
I can't see.
Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
But Clay. Looking at their defense, we've talked to a couple of defensive guys now. I mean, I do think they're going to have to carry the water for a little bit while the offense kind of gets their stuff figured out. But I think, do they have a good enough defense that I think they could do that?
Yeah.
You think they could do that?
Look, what's the name? The defense, right? So you go out and you stop people. And Josh Heupel's going to go and say, look, we need you. We got a really good defense. I know we lost a few guys to the NFL. Every team does. The guys come and go. You lose some, you gain some. But this is a good defense that you got going on with you right now with Bryson Easton and Arian Carter. I mean, there's two good guys who have been through the fire for Tennessee. And that's what you have here. Look, we could talk quarterback all day long and who's going to replace Dylan Sampson. I get all that. But, you know, it was the same question you had, like, who's going to replace Reggie Cobb? Well, look who comes in, Chuck Webb. Who's going to replace Chuck Webb? Charlie Garner. I mean, there are guys that come in all the time that replace guys and take it to another level. You got to give them the opportunity to have that and let it go with that. And so it's exciting to see what they can do for this Tennessee football team in 2025. We don't know. We truly don't know. But I'll tell you, some things fall their way. This team's back in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, look, of course they are. I mean, but there are a bunch of teams, not only in the SEC, but in college football that I think can say that right now. Back to the past thing. When I talk to fans, and I know you've talked to a lot of Tennessee fans, I feel like they're kind of keeping that in their back pocket. It's one of those that if things don't go well, then it's like, yeah, no, he gets a pass this year.
I think so. A little bit, yeah. But at the same time, I don't think you'd be happy going 7-5 if you're in Knoxville. Happy if you're going 8-4. I think, yeah. But I don't like going down the avenue of like, let's give a guy a pass this year. Yeah, I'm not a fan of all that. I love talking about it when it's what if something's already happened. But we don't know yet. We don't know how good Joey Aguilar is going to be. We have no idea yet. So the fact he gets in there and gets to prove himself during camp, and he's the guy that runs this offense when they come to Atlanta in 6 weeks to take on Syracuse, we'll know. We'll know something then.
Again,
is he playing peekaboo with
us? I don't know. Again, Chase and Big Joe here. We are on Radio Row at SEC Media Days presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Coach Josh Heupel is scheduled to join us in just a second. I think he's on with Jocks in Birmingham, which I'll say this. Credit to Clark Lee, credit to Josh Heupel that they're coming up. Kirby Smart did it, came up here and hit a bunch of different radio stations. There's some coaches, Lane Kiffin, that just stayed away. Didn't want to do it at all. And I'm like, what's the whole point of media days is coming up here and talking to the media.
Just come and have fun.
You're going to get asked a lot of the same questions.
How much fun would we have with Lane Kiffin? It'd been great to talk to
him. It'd have been awesome. And you know what is sad? I feel like 2 or 3 years ago he would have done it. But now he's just, you know, he'd rather have his playing field that he can control a little bit more. So it looks like it is happening. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
So we will
All right.
We will get ready to go. Coach, how you doing?
Good. This is great. There you go, Coach, right there. Thank you.
Yeah, we're good.
Good to see you, Coach.
Joe, thanks so much for doing this.
And we'll get the headset on him and get him all situated here.
There you go, Coach.
Yep.
Like being on the sidelines. <laughs> and kneeling.
We welcome in the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Josh Heupel, is here with us as I think he's wrapping up his day here on at SEC Media Days, which may be a good thing.
We're getting close. We're in the fourth quarter. I hope it doesn't go to overtime.
Yeah, we're getting close. You said earlier today open competition for quarterback after Nico's departure. That's all documented. We know about that. But how excited are you to work with all of these guys? You got a couple of freshmen and then obviously an established guy in Joey who's transferred in. Yeah. That's got to be exciting to you as a coach to let them go out there and fight for
this is the fun part of it. It's challenging too, but those guys have handled themselves in a great way, competing fiercely to gain understanding. you know, challenging each other, doing it in a positive way, you know, gaining a voice with your teammates and, you know, how you have to impact them at that position. And at the end of the day, we're really transparent with those guys in the process. Everything goes into the evaluation. But ultimately, you're going to compete when you get to training camp, and somebody's got to learn it, earn it, and go take a job. And I think that's important for that position to gain the trust and respect that you need to from the guys around you. And that's in all three phases. I think it is important that your players see that process as well, because, you know, competition and who you are every day, taking a job and those things we talk about at every position. So it better be true at quarterback too.
Does, and I don't know if you view it this way or not, but does Joey have a leg up simply because he has experience, even though it's not with your program, not in your offense?
No, we're going to find out who's mastered what we're doing, can operate and function at an elite level, put our offense in the best position, you know, with everything that the quarterback controls and what we're doing, can take care of the football, and then go distribute it and let playmakers go make plays. And we're going to find that out as we go through training camp.
Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel's with us. I know new quarterback situation's coming in, but at the end of the day, you're a football coach. You like to coach. Man, I mean, I no gotta doubt. Think this is exciting for you.
Absolutely. You know, today is the fourth quarter of the talking season, and right. we're getting ready to go play some ball. For us, like coaches want to coach, and a part of that is coaching young guys to get a chance to grow. And there's nothing better than seeing them figure things out and continue to become a better football player, and you know, during the course of that journey together. You know, as we get ready to get in training camp, I'm excited about the growth that we've seen from all of the guys, but I'm ready to get to the field and put helmet and shoulder pads on and go play real football too.
You know, a lot of consternation with Tennessee fans about what the court – of course, that's what we always do. We always
that's what's awesome about Tennessee fans, right. Man. Like, they care, man, and they're into it. I love that part.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Joey and George, everybody showing up August 15th. They've been there for a little bit. So they're acclimated to the city, the community, to the teammates, everything. That's all. Back in the day, and we showed up at camp, it was August the 5th. We had 3 weeks before our first game. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, it's different in that respect. You know, George has been there since December, right? And Merck's been there for 18 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. And, you know, Joey's been there since early May. And, you know, he got a chance to go through the installs and, you know, kind of rinse and repeat and go back through those things in the summer months. But all of those guys, first of all, they're doing it the right way. And I think that's important. You look at Hendon and Joe, who competed for a starting job.
Right.
Right. And then, you know, it changes, right? Who is the starter? But how they handled that situation, two guys that became great friends, still great friends, they're in the NFL, like, that allows our team to be its best. And, you know, we were really clear on how guys are going to have to handle this. Who they are in the building, but the interactions, and then ultimately how they compete together too.
We love guys from the Middle Tennessee area, and
I love them too, man. I do.
And you brought Arian Carter here, the guy we knew at Smyrna High School.
Yeah.
We love that young man. What makes him special to you?
I love that guy too. You know, you think about his journey, high school running back, switching to linebacker. Smart, tough, relentless competitor that loves football. Not what football brings him, but loves football. And a dynamic leader. And that guy is super consistent and mission-focused on what he wants to accomplish individually and the plan that he has to get there and how he attacks it every day, but what he wants to accomplish as a football team.
Right.
And just grown into a dynamic, infectious leader. And, you know, that's why he's here today with us.
Josh Heupel is with us, Vols head coach. You played this game at a high level. You've coached this game at a high level. And you know that there are no such thing.
Nobody cares.
At excuses.
That's what I love about this game. The only thing that matters is when the clock ticks zero.
So you probably know where I'm about to go
with
going, this.
You're either plus one or you're not. That's all that matters.
There's this narrative that with the quarterback situation and what happened with Nico, that you might get a pass this year. That if things don't go well – The Vols get a pass. Coach Heupel gets a pass. Does that piss you off when you hear that?
Man, it's been a long time since I walked into a ball game not thinking that we were going to win that ball game. It's been a long time, long before I got to Tennessee. Nobody in our program has ever used anything as an excuse from day one when we got there. When I got there, said we're good enough to win right now. Now, your margins might be different.
Sure.
You know, year to year, team to team, your margins can be different. But this football team is good enough to go win. And, you know, that's the athletic traits that we have, both sides of the football. It's what we have in our staff room. We got to go compete and go take it every play, every practice, every day. And ultimately you get to kick off and, you know, coaches and players together got to find a way to go win the game.
With what you just said, that you believe in this football team, is that why it was important for you to make a quick decision when everything went down of, hey, I believe in the guys that are here, that want to be here, that are bought in?
At the end of the day, you got to protect who and what you are or want to be inside your program. I think in any adverse situation, being able to communicate clearly, authentically, and timely matters to your program.
Sure.
And that's your staff, it's your players, it's staff, family, players, families, whatever it might be. And, you know, we've developed a culture. We've developed a connection, an accountability to each other. Not saying we're perfect in it every single day, but we've developed that, and we're going to stay true to that. What's outside the game has changed.
Sure.
What it takes to go win on Saturday, 12 of them during the course of the season, that ain't changed.
Yep. Right.
You got to be tough. You got to be smart. You got to be relentless competitors. Everybody's got to do their job. And we're not going to give up on those things that we need to go win. Standard at Tennessee is to go win championships. We got to go accomplish that mission as fast as we can.
One more before I let you go. August 30th, you come back here to Atlanta. You take Syracuse at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How much would you love to run out that day and see that stadium?
Man,
Tennessee orange, not Syracuse orange.
It's going to be filled with orange. I would be shocked, disappointed. I don't know what other word I can use to describe it. If that baby is not packed with the right shade of orange, with a lot of people screaming Rocky Top at the top of their lungs.
Love it.
Coach, thanks so much for doing this. I know you're very busy. We're looking forward to it. 6 weeks away, hard to believe.
I appreciate it. Looking forward to this journey with this football team. Our fan base, too. Our fans not a better fan base in college sports, college football. They've been a huge part of the growth of our program. They're a huge part of our success recruiting. We're going to need them as we go through this 25 journey to be the best versions of themselves and ready to attack every Saturday with us, too.
Absolutely. He's Coach Josh Heupel of the Vols. Trevor Maddich up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks to Chase and Big Joe for being down at SEC Media Days and having Josh Heupel on the program. And as I said at the top of the hour, I said, I think Josh Heupel gets a free pass this year. And there he was at the end of the segment talking about, you know, we just got great fans. Our fans, I'll tell you, they support us so much, blah, 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 blah. I think he knows quarterback's not very good. Tough schedule in the SEC. And I think he thinks, hey, you know, I need the fans to be patient this year. Trevor Maddich joins us on the program presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. So, Trev, let's start there. I believe Josh Heupel gets a free pass, that no matter what happens this year at Tennessee, he's going to be the coach this time next year at SEC Media Days, and it should be that way. He just talked to Chase and Big Joe when it came to the Nico situation about protecting the program, which I think is in reference to not giving in to Nico's demands. So let's start there, Trev. Do you think when it comes to Tennessee that Josh Heupel should have a free pass this year, should be playing this season, given the quarterback situation with house money?
I absolutely do, Jared, and he will never say that. He will never believe that. He doesn't want that to leak into his team's mindset that, okay, well, we don't really have much of a chance this year, so we'll just get ready for next year. But from a standpoint of Tennessee fans looking at it, you've got Nico, who's the quarterback that they invested in, that had the first team reps, that they were, you know, ready to go with all off season. After spring ball, he was the guy, and then he leaves. And so now all of a sudden, you've got three guys competing at quarterback. One of them is Joey Aguilar, who's a transfer from UCLA, who played a lot of his career at Appalachian State. He's got a lot of experience. The two guys behind him are very talented, but they're very young. You got a redshirt freshman, and the true freshman is the guy that probably has the most talent of all of them. And I think that the fan base is sophisticated enough at Tennessee to not necessarily say that we don't care if Tennessee doesn't perform to the best of their capability. But I think this fan base understands what they face. The thing is, though, the schedule, if they get past Syracuse in the opener, and I think they will, Syracuse lost almost all of its production. I mean, Syracuse right now is, you know, they've got to replace a whole lot more than Tennessee does. And they've got the same kind of problems at quarterback that Tennessee does in a way. I mean, they sent Kyle McCord, their quarterback, last year off to the NFL. And you've got backups from Notre Dame and LSU that are now competing to be the starting quarterback at Syracuse. And much like Tennessee, there's big question marks in the receiving core. And I think Tennessee is going to win that game. But the thing is, if they get past Tennessee, I could see them being 5-1 by the time they go play Alabama in Tuscaloosa in November. And that one loss will be at home against Georgia. And then after that, if they can, you know, if you expect them to lose to Alabama and to Georgia, then for the rest of the season, they've got to win two tough games to make the playoff. If they can beat Oklahoma at home, which will be really tricky, and if they can win at Florida the week before they play Vanderbilt, then this can very well be a 10-2 team, even with the quarterback problems, even with having to replace four starting offensive linemen, even with sending their best edge rusher, James Pierce, to the NFL in this last draft. This Tennessee team that everybody is thinking deserves a pass this year, and they kind of would, except the schedule lines up that if they can steal a couple of games, they could still make the 12-team playoff again, and that would be magnificent.
Trevor, what did you make yesterday of Clark Lee going to SEC Media Days and talking about their goal is to be playing in January? Diego Pavia saying, I came back to win a national title. That's big talk at Vandy. I'll give Vandy credit because they're not a joke anymore, but that's big talk. What do you make of it?
I love it. I love it. Everybody who's ever been an entrepreneur knows that if you have a small business and you want it to become big, you need to treat it like a big business when it's small, and then grow it into that big business that you're already treating it like. And that's what Vanderbilt's doing. I mean, Vanderbilt is an afterthought in the local and national media when it comes to competing for SEC championships and, of course, national championships in the playoff and all the rest. But how are they going to get from where they are to where they want to go? That is to create that mindset. Now, they've also got to create the talent, and they can do that with NIL, basically. And NIL is going to be a massive part of Vanderbilt's ability to kind of build up to where they can compete in the top tier of the SEC. And the thing is, they can, but it'll cost a lot of money. And I think that's one of the things that Clark Lee and Diego Pavia are doing. I think they're really talking to the money people in the entertainment industry, the healthcare industry, the automotive industry, the tech industry. I mean, Nashville is an amazingly diverse and incredibly wealthy business environment. And
well, that's because you live here.
Well, of course, yeah. That's except for the wealthy part. Yeah, but as far as what they're trying to do by talking that way, what they're trying to say is, hey, folks with the money, look at us. Be with us because we're on the rise, and you can go somewhere else and you can give your money to a program that's already winning, and you can just be another donor, or you can come here and you can see that we're already on our way to building this program, and you can be an absolute legend in Vanderbilt football because you were one of the key thunders of NIL to take this program from where it is now, which is a tough out, a pretty good program with Diego Pavia to a program that could compete at a higher level in the SEC. And so if you don't believe it, they're not going to believe it. If you don't say it, they're not going to believe it. But if you get your name out in the media and then you back it up by winning games, which they did last year, some big games. As a matter of fact, Texas and LSU, they lost those games by one score. I mean, they could have beaten both Texas and LSU with a couple bounces of the ball last year in addition to beating Alabama. And so I think what they're trying to do is treat Vanderbilt football like it's already competitive at a high level to attract the money, because those folks want to rub elbows with stars. And Diego Pavia is a star. And, boy, they need to do it right now because this is his last year there.
Trevor, there seems to be a lot of talk around Brian Kelly at LSU and the fact that they seem to always lose that first game every year at a conference and that they always seem to be good but not good enough at LSU since he's been there. Do you think Brian Kelly could be in some trouble this year? I know they open up with Clemson, but I have a hard time. It's not like he's done a bad job at LSU, but he hasn't done a great job at LSU. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think he's on the hot seat right now. I think he is not one of them. One of them meaning the Cajuns, the native sons and daughters of Louisiana. Ed Orgeron grew up in a small town or was born in a small town south of New Orleans. Now, I didn't think there was anything south of New Orleans except the Gulf, right? But apparently there's people down there, and that's where Orgeron comes from. And that's one of the reasons that they loved him there until they finally had to make a change at head coach, because he's one of them. Well, Brian Kelly is a Yankee through and through in his coaching career, especially in terms of where he coached before he went to LSU. You know, Notre Dame was the most recent school he coached at, which is not necessarily known for its southern flavor, South Bend, Indiana. So he doesn't have that benefit of the doubt that Orgeron had. This year, LSU is doing what Ohio State did last year. Last year, Ohio State famously spent over $20 million in NIL to bring in a roster that could win the national championship. And when they lost to Michigan in the last game of the regular season, it looked like Ryan Day, their head coach, there was a four straight loss to Michigan, he was on the hot seat and he might have been fired, except then they went on a tear and won the national championship in the college football playoff. And so all is right with the world, almost. They still have to beat Michigan. But that's what Ohio State did. They broke the bank with NIL to buy a roster, and it paid off with a national championship. That's what LSU did. LSU broke the bank to buy a roster to win the national championship. And I will tell you this, in my travels around the country, you know, I see people, you know, college football fans are always wearing a hat or a T-shirt or something. And I was in an RV campground, and next to me, a couple pulled up, and as they were setting up their camper, I asked them where they were from. They said, Louisiana. I said, go Tigers. What do you think of the coach? And he said, he'd better win this year or he's gone. And I said, well, wait a minute. He's been pretty good. No, he better win this year or we, the fans, are going to drop him. And that wasn't the only LSU fan that spoke that way of this upcoming season. In my travels around, I didn't find a single LSU fan that said, you know, Brian Kelly is great, and if he wins the SEC this year and goes deeper to the playoffs, you know, that's great. But if he doesn't and he's competitive, that's okay too, because we know he's going to get there at some point. Not a single LSU fan said that to me. Every one of them said he better feel the heat of his seat, because from our perspective, fans, it is hot.
Trevor Maddich with us. What do you make of all the Arch Manning hype? I saw Jordan Rogers said it's too out of control. I heard Feinbaum say, hey, he thinks he's going to be the best player in college football. Where are you on the Arch Manning front?
Well, I think Arch Manning may well be everything that Paul Feinbaum said. Paul Feinbaum said he can be the greatest quarterback in college football since Tim Tebow. And forget about the NFL. Tim Tebow was one of the greatest college quarterbacks in history. And to put Arch Manning there when he has never been the actual starter outside of a couple games because of injury last year, you know, that's a lot of faith in the kid. Now, I think that he's got the talent to be in that conversation, but this year in the SEC, he's got a lot of competition for who will be the best quarterback just in the SEC, much less the greatest since Tim Tebow. I mean, you've got quarterbacks at places we talked about LSU. Garrett Nussmeier doesn't have the arm talent of Arch Manning, but he's got an NFL arm. He'll be in the NFL after this season, and he's got a lot more experience than Arch does. At South Carolina, Lenora Sellers has a massive arm, although he doesn't have the subtlety and arm talent of Arch, not yet. But Lenora Sellers is a massive athlete who's fast, and you got to stop him as a runner before you could ever think about stopping it as a passer, and he only will be getting better as a passer. DJ Lagway of Florida is another one that had a terrific back half of last season, and he's only going to get better, and he's going to have a better offensive line and probably a better overall receiving group than he did last year as well at the end of the season when they were supposed to lose their last seven games at Florida, and they ended up winning four of those seven games. And that was in large part because of Lagway. So then you've got Arch Manning. Arch Manning has the talent to be the first pick in the draft. He's got the talent to be the best quarterback in the nation. But where it stands right now in college football, in terms of the guys just in the conference that he's competing with to be first team all SEC, I would say, yeah, he can, maybe he will, but I need to see him as the man before I take away that same consideration from some of those other SEC quarterbacks that we just talked about.
Trevor Maddux is with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Last one for you, Trevor, which is when it comes to the SEC, I don't have a vote for where I'd rank the teams. If I did have a vote, I wouldn't vote anyways. But in the SEC, right now, Texas and Georgia have question marks at quarterback. Gunnar Stockton, is he the guy? Arch Manning, we just went over him. Is he the guy? South Carolina and Florida have really good quarterbacks, but who knows about their coach? Billy Napier and Shane Beamer, can they win at a big level? Brian Kelly has never seemed to really be able to tie the knot so far at LSU. That seems to be at least a little bit of an issue. So when it comes to the top of the league, and Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Ty Simpson, who knows? Plus, last year, not encouraging. So when it comes to the SEC, who right now, if you had a vote and you were saying this is the best team in the conference, who would it be? And is there a team that you feel best about given all the question marks across the league?
The team that I feel best about given all the question marks is, oh, this is tough, but by a slight margin, I'm going to say Texas, because Texas, they've recruited very well. They brought in a lot of really strong transfers on the offensive and defensive lines. They need them because they've got to replace a bunch of guys. Their wide receiving core lost a ton of production to the NFL draft, but it's still one of the probably top five or seven receiving groups in the nation. And I think Texas has a very good chance to be that team, but it's only a slight margin ahead of teams like Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. I think those four teams are going to be, you could flip a coin and, you know, it would be, and see who's going to be the best team in the SEC. And there's some other teams that could rise up as well. Oklahoma is going to have one of the best defenses in the conference, one of the best defensive lines in the conference. And, you know, they've got John Mateer in, a quarterback transfer from Washington State. Their offensive line and wide receivers will be much. I think Oklahoma will have one of the top two or three offenses in the SEC and one of the top three or four defenses in the SEC. That's Oklahoma. And we didn't even mention them in that group of that top tier bunch of blue bloods. So right now I'm not confident in any one of them rising up. But if you make me pick one, I'm going to say Texas.
Trevor Maddux, as always on our program, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. Trevor, thank you for being patient with us as we had Josh Heupel on the program, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor Maddux here on our program. Brian Callahan was ranked 32nd as far as head coaches are concerned by CBS, and that may not be the most disrespectful list involving Brian Callahan. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.